Sure. Every day and twice on Sundays. You make me laugh, Preppy, I said. You make me confused as fuck, Doc. But I realized something today.
What's that? Preppy's voice was a distant whisper as his chest rose and fell in a steady rhythm.
That we're the same.
Oscar chose that moment to grunt his way into the room. He nudged Preppy with his snout. Preppy, I whispered.
Yeah, Doc.
Will you please tell me what's up with the fucking pig? Chapter 19. Dre. Oscar was a service pig. This is not a joke. Apparently, a pig's sense of smell is better than that of a dog's, and they're smarter, too, but since they aren't as convenient as a dog, they'd been passed over for that position and instead used for other things, like bacon. So you bought Myrna a pig? I asked. We'd spent the morning in the grow room, and Preppy was showing me the ropes. And by ropes, I mean hoses. There were a million yards of different hose that needed to be installed in each of the rooms. The ventilation aspect of the operation was Preppy's own design and very impressive. It was disguised as a window air conditioning unit, and it kept the smell of the plants not only from inside of the house, so the grannies wouldn't be bothered by it, but it also kept passers-by from smelling what was going on inside the house. He showed me how to install a basic system while explaining to me how the recruitment process worked.
I did buy her a pig, he said, laughing like the notion was ridiculous, even to him. I read an article online about service dogs for people suffering from dementia, but those motherfuckers are expensive, and the waiting list is years long. So I looked up alternatives to service dogs, and boom, now Myrna has Oscar.
What exactly does he do? I said, and as if he knew we were talking about him, the cow-colored pig came traipsing into the room, as if he was supervising and checking on our progress. Preppy patted him on the head.
In a nutshell, he'll alert us when the shit's about to hit the fan.
He unraveled yet another plastic hose and opened a small toolbox. Where did you learn all this? I asked.
From a fucking 10-year-old on YouTube,
Preppy said, unloading equipment from a box marked as dog food. Shut the fuck up, I said, covering my mouth. There's no way.
It's the truth. We've been having issues with our source. Guy's a real douche. When King was sentenced, I wanted to come up with a plan B, so I set this in motion. I first thought about buying a house and setting up our operation in there, but grow houses are kind of obvious. Usually a guy that looks like a thug coming and going is kind of a tip-off. The smell is harder to handle on a mass scale as well. So I wound up on YouTube, watching videos of how these young kids were growing it in their closets, using these intricate filtration systems they set up with tubing from hamster cages and science projects. Figured we could do the same thing. Smaller scale of growing scattered around the town.
Ah, so that's when it all started.
Yes, it is. So we look for older women. Someone who lives alone. Not a lot of family to ask too many questions. Someone needing to supplement their social security check. It was actually a lot easier than I thought to get people to agree.
Why women? Why not an older man? I asked, dropping the drill I was holding when Oscar ran into me like a bull from behind, taking out my knees and knocking me to the floor. Thanks, buddy, I mumbled. Preppy helped me off the floor, and I rubbed the spot on my tailbone I'd landed on.
Want me to get that for you?
He asked, eyes gleaming with mischief. I think I can handle it.
Report back if that situation changes.
Preppy went back to his tools, and I drilled another hook into the wall.
There are a few types of people my charm and wit doesn't work on. Old men being one of those kinds of people. Besides, old ladies make the best cookies. We have four now, but in order to stop getting supply from the asshole we get it from, we're gonna need more. A lot more. That's where you come in.
So, not only am I forging documents for you, but you've somehow roped me into co-conspirator of your drug ring?
Yep.
Sneaky bastard, I said, pointing the drill at him and pushing the trigger, giving it a few spins. I looked around at the progress we'd made. This is actually kind of a genius idea.
Yeah, I think so too, he said with a cocky smile. It doesn't raise suspicion, and the grannies are compensated well. It's win-win all around.
So, you make your pitch, and they hand you the keys to their house?
Something like that. Some prefer not to know what I'm doing in their guest bedroom. For those who want to know, I try and make them see I'm not dragging them into a torrid drug trade.
How do you prefer them to see it? I asked. He grinned from ear to ear.
Subletting.
Preppy passed me one end of a tube, and we each climbed one of the ladders set up on opposite ends of the room. Was Myrna your first? He scoffed.
Far from it.
I flashed him a middle finger salute with my free hand. That's not what I meant, although I wouldn't doubt that your first time was with an elderly woman who seduced you with cookies and reruns of the Golden Girls.
It was Jeopardy.
He deadpanned, before his face cracked open into a smile.
Would have been cooler if that were true. But, if you must know, the truth was I was 14 when a woman stole my precious virtue.
Preppy got down from his ladder and crossed the room to pass me the nail gun. And what was this lucky lady's name? I asked, tacking my side up with a lot more finesse than Preppy had.
Her name? He laughed. Anything I wanted it to be.
You lost your virginity to a hooker? I said. Preppy grabbed me by the waist and brought me down from the ladder. Preppy opened the top of the filtration system.
I sure did. Best birthday ever, thanks to King. Turned into kind of an annual thing after that.
I stood there gaping. Not that he'd done it, but that he'd admitted it.
What?
He asked when he saw me staring with my mouth open.
Your family doesn't have traditions?
Something tells me that you don't have a lot of skeletons in your closet. Preppy shook his head.
Nope. I don't keep evidence.
Oscar darted out of the room. Are all pigs that fast?
Not sure. He's the only pig I've gotten to know on a personal level.
Preppy stripped some wires while I sat on the floor untangling extension cords.
So, what about you, Doc? When did you lose your virtue?
What is this, Pride and Prejudice? I asked. Preppy narrowed his eyes at me. After his admission last night, the least I could do was come clean. It was... The look on Preppy's face told me that I didn't need to continue. He knew exactly what I was about to say, that I'd lost it when I was raped by Connor and Eric. His jaw tightened, and he was white-knuckling the screwdriver in his hand so hard, I thought his knuckles were going to pop out of his skin. Suddenly, his entire demeanor shifted.
So, that's the only time you've ever fucked?
Way to beat around the bush about it, I said dryly, biting my lip as embarrassment and shame washed over me. Suddenly, Preppy was crouched down in front of me. He lifted my chin so I could face him. What? I asked as he searched my eyes. He cleared his throat, and for a second I thought he was having a stroke, because I'd never heard him go so quiet for so long. He took a deep breath and held my gaze.
Doc.
Yeah?
I volunteer as tribute.
Oscar came darting back into the room, running around and bumping into everything, squealing this high-pitched death scream, like he'd just escaped the slaughterhouse and was running for dear life. I was about to ask what was up with him, but before I could form the words, Preppy was on his feet, running down the hall. I was close on his heels, but felt like everything was moving in slow motion, including me. Frame by still frame, the realization of what was happening was revealed. Preppy's voice calling out Myrna's name. Oscar's squeal as he pushed past me in the hall. Myrna, lying on the kitchen floor. Blood pooled around her head.
Chapter 20. Preppy. Dre was quiet when we followed the ambulance to the hospital. She was quiet when we sat in the waiting room. She was even quiet when the doctor came out from behind swinging double doors calling for Myrna's immediate family. We followed the doctor back through the doors to a room with a glass wall, the pale blue curtain peeled back, revealing a complicated web of tubes and what could have been Myrna somewhere underneath. Dre pressed her forehead to the glass. "We're going to monitor her," the doctor said. "She's stable for now, but the next 48 hours will tell us more. She hit her head when she fell, and we stitched that up." She was a young Asian woman with a high bun in her hair and at least 3 pencils sticking out of it. She didn't look much older than I was. "But just know that even if she survives, the chances of a full recovery at her age with her previous diagnosis of dementia isn't likely. If the next 2 days go well, then she'll be here for a couple of weeks. If she's still stable after that, then we'll discharge her. But she'll need around-the-clock care." She looked up from her clipboard to Dre, whose eyes were still on Myrna, and then to me. "Probably for the rest of her life."
"She's been on the waiting list for Sarasota Assisted for months," I explained.
"I'm going to the ladies' room," Dre muttered, hugging herself, her keds squeaking against the linoleum as she headed toward the hall with the restroom sign hanging from the ceiling. The doctor scribbled something down on her clipboard. "I know some people over at Sarasota Assisted. I'll give them a call, tell them about your grandmother's situation, see if we can get her moved up the list." She tore off a page from her notepad and handed it to me. "Here's the name and number of another facility. It's a little farther away, but it might have an opening sooner if SA doesn't work out."
"Thanks," I said, folding the paper and tucking it into my pocket.
"And I know it's not my place," she started, glancing to where Dre just disappeared. "But I saw her arms. I wrote down the number for another place just in case it could help."
I know the doctor was just trying to help, but for some reason her suggestion that Dre wasn't okay infuriated me. "Mind your own fucking business," I snapped, leaving the doctor and heading down the hall. I passed the elevators and waited across from the restroom. After a few minutes, I knocked on the door. The elevator dinged, and a sad-looking couple got off and checked the room numbers on the wall. The doors closed again, and that's when I knew that when I burst into the ladies' room, that Dre wouldn't be there. I was right. The single stall was empty. No windows. She was never even there. I jogged to the elevator and frantically pressed the button. I didn't know where the fuck she went, but she had a 5-minute head start, which if she wanted to run from Myrna, from me, wasn't nearly fucking enough.
Chapter 21. Dre. There wasn't enough time. Not in this life or the next. There were still a million apologies owed, a trillion cookies to be baked, a lifetime of hugs to be had. Life is short. Death is final. Dementia is a purgatory in which nothing matters. There just wasn't enough fucking time. The voice in my head grew louder. The one that started as a whisper, a suggestion, a voice that told me that they knew what I needed to stop the pain. The one that told me that escape was only a needle away. I swallowed down the lump in my throat and pushed open the back doors. I ran across the parking lot, to the shell road behind the building, picking up speed, running with no destination in mind until I could no longer see the lights from the hospital behind me, and my tears dried on my cheeks. I passed a few scattered houses before stopping when I came to a cemetery, lined in wild growing hedge. My heart was beating fast from exertion, but suddenly it started to pound erratically, but it wasn't my heart. It was bass from music, some poppy dance tune. Laughter floated in the air from behind the bushes. A house slowly came into view. A 3-story run-down Victorian that looked as if it had been abandoned. The hedge gave way to an open iron gate. A sign reading, "Do not enter," was hanging from a cut chain. Young people around my age were scattered all over the lawn and the porch. Candles lined the railing. "Hey," someone said, startling me. I spun around to find a petite redhead girl with a glazed-over look in her eyes. Do I know you? She asked, her words slurring slightly. I don't think so. I just heard the music.
Well, if you're looking for a party, you've found it.
She raised the bottle of vodka she was carrying in the air and took a swig, splashing some of it onto her face. I shook my head and was about to turn away when the breeze rustled the trees, and a very familiar scent snaked its way from the house, through my nose, and into my brain. The sensation of awareness that followed was like smelling the cologne or perfume of an ex-lover. With one little sniff, I remembered every touch, every taste, every euphoric feeling, almost like we'd never been apart. My ex-lover, the only real lover I'd ever had, was calling to me. And the bitch's name was Heroin. I don't remember moving my feet. I don't remember entering the house. What I remember is the couple having sex against the wall of the foyer. The smell of body odor and feces, graffiti marking the walls, the peeling wallpaper. A small room off to the side, what could have been a sitting area at one time, was aglow in candlelight. The scent of my lover stronger, sticking to the inside of my nostrils. A group of four sat around in a circle, in various states of chasing their dragons. One slumped over against the wall. Another smiling with anticipation as he flicked the syringe with his finger. There was one person that stood out to me above the others. I could only see the top of his greasy brown hair as he tied off an elastic band around his arm. I didn't see his face until he was tightening it with his teeth. His eyes met mine, and I gasped. Shock. Pure fucking shock shot through me. My stomach rolled and my heart pumped wildly. Every single hair on my arm stood at attention. I took a step back and shook my head, because there was no way what I was seeing was real. Eric. It couldn't be. He was dead, wasn't he? I heard a bang, which turned out to be someone tripped over a chair. When I looked back into the room, the man was gone. Either I was seeing things, or my Eric picked a really shitty night to start haunting me.
Come on out back, the girl said. We got a taste of everything out there.
I followed her through the house and into the backyard, which butted up to the cemetery. We hopped the small gate, where a larger circle of people were gathered under a large tree, sitting on the big, bulging roots which had upturned several headstones as they grew through to the surface.
That's Dom, the girl said, pointing to a dark-haired guy unrolling a ball of foil.
She cast me a knowing smirk, then glanced down to my arms. I folded them around my chest, instinctively protecting my scars from her knowing gaze.
He'll hook you up with whatever you want.
She clucked her tongue.
My guess is that you like to chase the dragon.
I didn't say anything. There was no use in denying something I wore the evidence of. A few minutes later, I was sitting next to Dom, Indian style, while he fired up the heroin, getting ready to reintroduce me to my old lover. I salivated for the taste of her. I already felt her in my blood. My knees bounced anxiously. The second he held the needle up to my arm, I pulled it back.
Second thoughts, pretty girl?
Dom asked, leaning close enough to me where I could smell his rancid breath. I didn't get a chance to answer. Not him. Not my own question about why I'd hesitated, because the needle was yanked from Dom's hand and plunged into his neck by a masculine arm covered in tattoos.
Good shit, right?
Preppy asked Don, pulling his gun from his waistband and pushing it to the back of Dom's skull. Screams erupted, and the partiers scattered like cockroaches exposed to light. Dom's face was contorted in both fear and pleasure, which proves that even with a gun to your head, heroin wins. Heroin always won. I untied the elastic from around my arm and let it fall to the ground. Preppy's hair was mussed. His face was red and his eyes were angry and determined.
Get the fuck out of my town. I see you here again, and it will be a bullet in your neck instead of a needle next time.
Preppy warned.
You understand me, motherfucker?
Preppy pulled Dom's head back by his hair so he could see the seriousness in his threat. He then released him, and Dom nodded sluggishly until his eyes rolled back in his head and he fell over in a heap onto the grass. "You don't know what else he's had. He could die," I said, standing up. Preppy shrugged, his face uncaring and hard.
"Oops."
He scratched his head with the barrel of his gun.
"You know, it's not very nice to run off like that. You could have at least said bye first. Maybe a, hey, Prep, just gonna go shoot some dope into my fucking veins, BRB.
I couldn't deal with the possibility of never having Myrna back, and Preppy's sarcastic bullshit at the same time. "Fuck you," I spat, taking off into the cemetery, jumping over thick roots and tripping over small triangular-shaped headstones, barely visible over the grass, which was the same height. It was pitch black, and my eyes weren't adjusting well. I fell into half a dozen statues and headstones, like a ping-pong ball, before I stopped to catch my breath under a crumbling mausoleum. My head was on my knees when I heard Preppy approach, his heavy footsteps a hard thud on the wet ground.
"You know what the really fucked up part is?" I asked.
"Well, I'll tell you.
The really fucked up part is that I thought I saw Eric in the house when I got there."
I lifted my head and glanced at Preppy, who had his arms crossed over his chest, his biceps flexing.
"I mean, I know he's dead, so it's impossible, right? But I'm fucked up, more than I ever thought. So much that I imagined I saw him. But even after that, during that split second when I thought he could really be alive and there in that house, ready to shoot up, I'd made the decision that I was going to stay anyway." I ran my nails up and down my calves. "That's how badly I wanted it."
I paused.
"Want it," I corrected.
The desire was so great inside of me, I groaned out loud. Preppy crouched down in front of me, his gun hanging from his hand between his legs, pointed at the ground, his finger stroking the trigger.
"Look at me,"
he demanded, tilting my chin up so I was looking into his eyes.
"There are no old junkies, Doc. You either make the decision to stop inviting it into your fucking veins, or it kills you."
I know,
I stammered, staring up at him through a curtain of my own dark hair.
"But I just don't care."
Preppy pushed the hair from my face, tucking it behind my ear and trailing his fingertips over my cheek, in a sweet gesture that both thrilled and frightened me. I wasn't expecting that, especially after what he'd just done to Dom. Preppy sighed and withdrew his hand.
"I need to point out that letting the H kill you is the same as leaping off that tower, because it's still you making that decision to die."
He trailed the barrel of his gun up my leg, from my ankle to my knee. The cool metal set my skin to prickles and made me shiver so hard my teeth chattered. I sucked in a breath. Preppy's voice slowly turned from an eerie calm to a violent rage.
"You were going to use,"
he said. But it wasn't a question, it was an accusation, a fact. I nodded, my eyes on his gun as he rested it on my thigh.
"And you still want it?"
he asked. I nodded again, too ashamed to speak the words out loud.
"Say it,"
Preppy demanded, turning the gun so it was now pointed at me, but his finger wasn't on the trigger.
"Tell me you still want it. Tell me that you want to die."
"It's not that simple," I tried to explain.
"Tell me,"
Preppy demanded.
"Why?"
I asked, trembling. I scattered backwards until my back hit the cold marble of the mausoleum, but Preppy crawled over the step and hovered over me before I could get any further.
"Because I've been holding back."
He leaned forward and grabbed a handful of my hair, yanking me up to him roughly, his lips hovering above mine, his cool breath on my face.
"So I need to know if you give a shit about your life."
He pulled me up to a standing position by my hair. My scalp screamed in agony. He slammed me back against the wall.
"Because the way I see it, is if you don't give a fuck about your life.
He leaned in and ran his nose along my jaw and chuckled deep and dark, the sound vibrating to the depths of my soul.
Then I don't have to give a fuck about it either.
I looked over his shoulder, scanning the cemetery to see if there was anyone nearby, anyone I could call to for help. No such luck. Preppy must have been reading my mind.
Nobody's here to save you. Nobody can save you except you. So fucking tell me, Doc. Do you want to fucking die?
I told you, it's not that simple. It's just that I feel... I started, but the words wouldn't come.
Tell me, damn it!
Preppy roared, pushing his knee between my legs to better pin me to the wall. I feel like I'm fucking bleeding out! I screamed. Preppy's face remained hard and impassive, as his eyes frantically roamed my body for wounds. But he wouldn't find any. Not on the outside, at least.
No!
I said, grabbing his wrist and bringing his hand, still holding the gun to my chest, pressing it between my breasts.
Here! I'm bleeding out here, and I don't know how to make it stop. You told me before that you could make the call. You said you could get me what I need. I need it. I need it so bad. Can you give me what I need?
I hated the desperation in my voice. I hated the weakness. One brief encounter with my ex-lover, even though I'd only watched her across the room as she seduced others, had me falling under her spell once again.
Oh, I can give you what you need,
Preppy growled, pinning me to the wall with his hips, his erection hard against my lower stomach, taking me off guard. My pulse spiked with fear, then fell with disappointment.
But no fucking H.
He ground his hips against me, his hardness taking me off guard. I pushed against his shoulder, but I might as well have been attempting to lift a car because he only held me tighter.
Why? Why won't you help me? You can help me. You said we were friends. Friends help each other, right? And this is how you can help me.
His stare grew more intense, which infuriated me because he didn't say a thing. Instead, he let me cry and wail and pound my fists against him.
Why won't you help me?
I screamed. My throat was tight and sore.
Please!
My yell turning into a sob.
I don't want it.
I cried, my head falling back against the wall.
I don't.
I shook my head.
But I don't know how to stop the bleeding and make the pain go away. I don't know how to dull the edge that makes me want to scratch off my skin without running back to that house and sticking a needle in my arm.
I met his furious dark eyes, Preppy's body as unyielding as his drilling stare.
So please,
I cried, bouncing slightly on my knees as I begged. I covered his gun with my other hand.
Please help me.
I don't know if it was me touching his gun, or the begging that did it, but the spark was back, glistening wickedly in his eyes. His pupils grew large. He licked his bottom lip and ground his hips against me. I gasped. My blood turned red hot. I instantly regretted everything I'd said. He rocked his knee against my core, and a flush of wetness soaked through my panties. I didn't want this. There was too much going on in my head, too much to sift through and process. But my body didn't seem to care about what I wanted, because my nipples tightened under my tank top.
Do you trust me?
My brain wanted heroin. My body wanted Preppy.
No.
I answered honestly, my chest heaving from fear and anxiety and anticipation.
I don't trust you.
He pulled his gun back and turned it over in his hands, examining it as the moonlight glinted off the metal. He smirked.
That's good, Doc.
He leaned in close, his beard bristling against my cheek, his lips brushing against the sensitive spot behind my ear as he spoke.
You shouldn't.
He said, as he held the barrel of his gun to my head, finger on the trigger.
Chapter 22. Preppy.
You wouldn't. You want to die, that can be arranged.
But don't be a pussy about it and use the heroin excuse to end it when you can man up and I can just pull the trigger and it will all be over.
That's not what I meant, she said, and instead of fear, her anger boiled over. Her face turned red. Regardless of my gun to her head or not, she drilled me with her stare.
Good girl. I pulled her off the wall by her shoulder and shoved her further into the cemetery. She stumbled on one of the overgrown roots the place is full of, bracing her fall on a lopsided tombstone.
What are you doing?
She asked over her shoulder, her words shaky, fear in her eyes. She was bent over at the waist, arms stretched over her head, her hands gripping the stone as she gulped to catch her breath. The bottoms of her ass cheeks teased me from right under the hemline of her shorts. Giving you what you want. I paused.
No, what you need.
What is it you think I need? She asked, the fear turning to unbridled lust when she realized I was staring at her denim-covered pussy. I chuckled, thinking her back by her jet-black hair tangling in my fingers. I licked the side of her face and pushed my hard cock into the seam of her ass. You want to be high? You can be high on me. You want to take the edge off? I'm going to do just that, baby. I flipped her over and brought her to the edge of the stone, keeping her in place by pulling tight on her hair when she tried to wrestle away from me. All her struggles stopped when I ran my hand up the inside of her thigh, into her shorts, grazing her soaking wet pussy. I groaned and tamed down the voice inside my head that wanted to take her right then and there. This wasn't about me. This was about Dre. This was about teaching her a lesson. I worried about taking it too far again, about scaring her off, but those thoughts disappeared the second I pushed a finger inside her tight heat and her head fell back and her mouth partially opened. Her eyes closed. No, you look at me while I fuck you with my fingers, I commanded, forcing her head forward so she had no choice but to look me right in the eyes as I added another finger. With my gun still against her head, her hips bucked against me as I brought her closer and closer to the edge. I heard footsteps and laughter, but couldn't care less if we were caught. All that mattered was Dre and that look in her eyes, like she wanted me and hated me all at the same time. My cock was rock fucking hard, and as I pumped my fingers into her over and over again, she moaned and cried out. Again, she tried to look away, but again, I tightened my grip on her hair and forced her to look at me with those big, beautiful, dark eyes of hers that always seemed like they were looking right inside my head.
So what? This is some kind of sick lesson you're trying to teach me?
She asked breathlessly, her pussy clenched around my fingers, milking them, wanting more than I was giving. I pumped faster, hooking my index finger inside of her.
You think making me... come is going to make everything better?
She asked bitterly, a stammer in her words. Who said I wanted to make anything better? I asked, running my nose along her neck and biting down on her earlobe, inhaling her vanilla scent. Maybe I just want to be the one to ruin you, I said, against her skin. With one last thrust of my fingers, her pussy clamped down, and she cried out into the night with my suspenders twisted around her hands. I didn't know if she was trying to pull me closer or push me away. Her wetness dripping down my fingers as she rode out her climax. Her head fell forward against my shoulder. I can't keep you, I whispered into her hair, echoing the voice inside my head, reminding me of the same thing over and over again since the day I brought Dre back to Myrna's.
I am not yours to keep,
Dre spat bitterly between heavy breaths. Her words may have been harsh, but she didn't move her head from my shoulder. No, I said, pulling my hands out from her shorts and licking her taste from my fingers. Finally, lowering my gun. But this pussy is all mine.
Chapter 23, Dre. I was just coming down from my orgasm when it occurred to me that we weren't alone. The sound of grass rustling and whispers floated over the air from somewhere nearby. I lifted my head from Preppy's shoulder.
Stay here,
he ordered in a whisper. With his finger on the trigger, he turned around, stepping over roots and headstones before disappearing behind the mausoleum.
The sounds of angry shouts burst from where Preppy had just gone, and before I could think about what I was doing, I was running in that direction, until I came upon Preppy, the barrel of his gun against someone else's head, someone with his chin on his chest and a needle hanging from his arm. The girl who invited me into the house was standing next to him, crying for Preppy not to shoot him.
"He owe you money or something?"
the girl asked, her words slurring together, her steps faltering. She grabbed onto a headstone for support. There was no real concern in her voice.
"What did Eric do to you?"
That's when I knew what I'd seen in the house was real. It was Eric.
"How?"
I asked, taking a step back and tripping over a root, falling onto my ass. Preppy and the girl turned to me, and Preppy took a step toward me.
"No, no,"
I said, standing up on my own. Just then, Eric lifted his head, and his glazed-over eyes met mine.
"Hey, Dre," he said. "I knew you'd come back."
Preppy took a step back to him and smacked him in the head with the barrel of his gun, sending him back into unconsciousness. The girl started screaming, but it was as if I couldn't hear her over the blood rushing in my ears, over the questions. Preppy had lied to me. He hadn't killed Eric. Preppy made a move toward me, but the girl jumped on his back with a high-pitched screech. I left him to fight her off as I took off through the cemetery, answering my own questions as I ran. Connor. Connor was dead.
Chapter 24. Preppy. I am in so much fucking trouble. Dre knew it was Connor I killed and not Eric. She probably hated me even more now, as if she needed more reasons to. Yet none of that mattered, because regardless of how she felt, regardless of how I should have felt, the pure primal need to shove my cock deep inside her frail body was like nothing I'd ever experienced before in my entire fucking life. Yup. So much fucking trouble. After what had happened in the cemetery, I was sure of one thing. I didn't just want to fuck her. I wanted to ruin her. By the time I shook off the spider junkie, Dre was gone. I searched everywhere before finally finding her in the first place I should have looked. In Myrna's backyard. That's where I found her lying in the grass, scribbling furiously away in a notebook. I took a moment to admire her. I was glad I stopped her from shooting up, but for a reason I couldn't begin to explain, I was fucking furious that she even wanted to. She'd just gotten over the most severe part of her withdrawals, the shakes fading to slight tremors. Her bruises had faded from angry purples, blacks to pale yellows. But after I found her at that house, I realized how rough of shape she was still in. Too rough. God damn it. She was fucking perfect, flaws and all. She'd gained weight, enough for her ass and tits to become all curvy and touchable. I should just fuck her and get it over with, but I still needed her help more than I needed a quick fuck. I adjusted myself, trying to shift my dick so it wouldn't be so painful, but it was pointless as it strained against my unyielding zipper. Getting my cock to go down now would be like talking a lion out of his dinner, when he already had the lamb in his mouth. Dre had the same constant sad look about her as she stared up into the cloudless sky. I felt downright feral and was overcome with a need to possess her, own her, even if only temporarily. Even if it was just for tonight, my throbbing cock agreed. I watched her profile as she bit down on the end of her pen, deep in thought. She might have been fragile in body and spirit, but her mouth was an entirely different story. Cocky, snarky. Maybe it was the contrast between that bold attitude and her weakness that had me imagining all the things that mouth could do if she were on her knees looking up at me. She paused her pen and was staring up at the stars. With her back to me, she sat up on her knees. Her t-shirt rode up on her, exposing a concave stomach and a flash of white cotton panties, the outline of her pussy lips clearly visible through the thin fabric. I palmed my aching cock through my pants and mentally reminded myself that it wasn't a good idea to come in my pants like some fucking kid. I couldn't stay away anymore, whether she hated me or not. There was no staying away. Not anymore. Dre didn't see me coming as I stepped out of the wooded backyard and into the light. She wouldn't see me until it was too late. I shouldn't fuck her. I knew I shouldn't. But I'm going to anyway. I came up behind her and peered over her shoulder as she's yet again scribbling away in the notebook. That's when I realized she was crying. Her shoulders were shaking, and the ink on the page is smeared with her tears. And her blood, a small razor blade in her hand, as small droplets of red fell from her wrist and onto the pages of her letter to someone named Melly. My blood was full on boiling, anger taking over running Operation Preppy, where lust had just left off, when I read the next sentence. Melly, I'm so sorry. I can't go on like this. I won't. I think I'm ready for it all to be over. This time for good. After everything, she still wanted to die? A growl tore from my throat. I gnashed my teeth together, leaning over, I ripped the notebook out from under her. She yelped in surprise, but I ignored her. I was dragging her through the back gate into the field before she could utter a single word in protest. "What are you doing?" she asked, tumbling under my grip. I continued to pull her alongside of me through the field. "You'll see," I spat, venom in my usually happy voice. "Fuck you! Get off of me! You killed him! You killed Connor!" she yelled. "Why? Why didn't you just leave me there to die when that's clearly what you want?" Dre asked. Her eyes narrowed at me, her posture tight. "You want to know why I killed him? I'll fucking tell you why. I pumped 3 bullets into that motherfucker's chest because he was touching you, trying to ruin you." I searched her eyes and ran the backs of my fingers across her cheek. "I was jealous," I admitted. "Why?" she asked, anger and confusion marring her beautiful face. "Why? Because if anyone is going to ruin you, it's going to be me." "You're sick," she spat. "Oh, Doc, you have no fucking idea," I said, tightening my grip on her arm. "He hurt you, and he paid for it." "You are hurting me," Dre screamed. I dug my fingers harder into her skin. "So make me pay." "I don't want this. I don't want you," she said, sounding like she was arguing with herself instead of me. "You have a sick need to kill yourself. I'm going to help you with that." I lowered my voice to a deep growl. "Meanwhile, I have my own sick needs I think you might be able to help me with." "No, I hate you," she spat as I continued to tug her beside me. "Good. You can hate me while I fuck you," I said. "But first things first. My lesson obviously didn't take in that brain of yours. You want what you want and I can't stop you," I said, as we approached the train tracks which were elevated on a mound of gravel several feet off the ground. The warning lights flashed orange. The neon reflective barriers dropped down to cover the service road, while the bells indicating an approaching train clanged away. "And since I can't stop you, I'm going to help you out. Bullet in the head was so 3 hours ago. I've got something even better in mind now."
"Wait, what?"
she asked, her teeth chattering.
You wouldn't."
"Wouldn't what?" I said, turning around to face her, almost losing my footing when I noticed the trail of dried tears on her cheeks. I looked away for a fraction of a second to regain my composure. "You think I wouldn't kill someone?" I cocked an eyebrow.
"You already know I've been there, done that, bought the motherfucking t-shirt, doll."
Her eyes went wide and she made a move to step back.
"Oh no, Doc. I read your letter and I saw what you wanted. And remember, I'm nothing if not accommodating."
When I pulled her to climb the gravel mound, her knees locked up, so I bent over and picked her up by the waist, tossing her over my shoulder, carrying her onto the tracks while she beat at my back with her closed fists. When I got to the top, I set her down roughly, and she fell backwards onto her ass, bracing herself with her hands against the large pieces of gravel under the tracks. The whistle of the train blew in the distance. It wouldn't be long now. Dre made a move to stand up, but that wasn't what I had in mind. I bent down and pushed on her chest, spreading her tiny frame across the tracks. I crawled on top of her, pinning her down with my thighs. I leaned over her, my chest to hers as we both breathed rapidly. She struggled underneath me to get up, pushing at my chest, but I wouldn't budge.
"Why the struggle, Doc? This is what you wanted, isn't it?"
She glanced up at me as the train whistled again. Her gaze flipped to her right, where the single yellow light from the train emerged from around the corner, shining brighter and brighter as it clogged closer and closer. For a moment, she stopped struggling, looking back and forth from the train to me.
"So what, you're gonna die here too?"
she asked, hoping to appeal to my sense of self-preservation. I shrugged. "I get bored easily. Maybe the devil will make me his errand boy or something."
"Preppy, this isn't funny. Get up and get off the fucking tracks," she said, her concern shifting from herself to me.
I shook my head and yawned. She wiggled underneath me, and although there was a train barreling toward us, my cock once again stirred to life. Maybe I should just rip down her panties and push inside of her. Train or no train, it would be one fuck of a way to go out.
"You have to choose, Doc," I said,
making my voice as serious as I was capable.
"Life?"
I asked, screaming over the sound of the train screeching against the track. I pushed my hard cock against her, and she gasped. Her trembling turned into a shiver. Her mouth fell open. I glanced to the side of the blinding light of the approaching train as it bathed us both in a tunnel of light. I leaned down, so close that my lips were a whisper above hers, as I shouted,
"Life or death? What's it gonna be, Doc?"
My hair blew around my face as the light grew brighter and brighter.
"Answer the fucking question,"
I demanded, my hands squeezing her shoulders, my fingers digging roughly into her skin.
"Do you want to fucking die?"
With only seconds left until we became shredded under the train, Dre closed her eyes and sighed. When she opened them again, they were glistening, fresh tears spilling from the edges. She started to speak, her lips forming the beginning of the word, but before it could fully leave her lips, I stood, pulling her up with me. I lifted Dre into my arms and took a running leap off the tracks, my legs flailing in the air as we fell the 7 feet or so. Dre's decision still on her lips, her screams surrounding the air around us as we crashed down into the field.
"I want to live!"
Dre. "Get off me, you're fucking crazy," I yelled, wailing against his chest with my closed fists. Preppy only laughed. "You're insane." He grabbed me roughly, his fingers biting into the delicate flesh of my wrists as he raised them above my head. "Oh, Doc," he said, his voice low and deep, his eyes gleaming wickedly. He leaned over, lowering himself so his lips brushed the corner of my mouth when he spoke, a chuckle vibrating from deep within his chest. "You have no fucking idea." He grazed my earlobe with his teeth. "By the way, I love this look on you," he added. "What? What look?" I asked. His eyes met mine and something dark flashed across them, something that caused the hair on the back of my neck to stand on end and my nipples to stand at attention. "Helpless. Let me go." "Oh, no, Doc. You made your bed. Now you're going to live in it." Before I could ask him what the fuck that meant, he leaned down and pressed his lips to a spot behind my ear that made me close my eyes and almost forget that just happened. Almost. I pushed at him again, just enough to separate his mouth from my neck, which instantly felt cold at the loss. "I wasn't even trying to kill myself," I huffed, still out of breath. "You could have fucking fooled me, Doc." Preppy spat, his eyebrows knitted tightly together, and he looked down at my arms. My chest heaved up and down. "I don't want to die," I tried to explain again, but the anger etched in the lines of his face only grew deeper. I needed to talk faster.
I wasn't trying to kill myself. I was just trying something because I don't know how to make the pain go away. I admitted in a rush, suddenly feeling very ashamed of the self-harm I was trying on for size.
Doc,
Preppy groaned, stepping forward as he weaved his fingers through my hair. His hand firmly gripped the back of my neck. He pulled me closer, and I stumbled forward until our chests were pressed together. His eyes were dark, pupils huge. His eyelids hung heavy and red. He sucked in his thick lower lip.
Why didn't you say something?
What do you mean? I asked, more out of breath at that moment than I was with a train heading straight for me.
Because, baby girl, if hurt is what you want, hurt is what I can do.
Wait, what are you doing? I asked as he reached for his belt and buckle, freeing it of his pants and tossing it aside.
I'm going to hurt you,
he said, undoing the top button of my shorts and pushing his hand into my panties, cupping my sex in his warm and powerful hand. He squeezed just a little, a show of power.
I'm going to hurt you with my lips, with my fingers, with my cock. It's going to be the best fucking pain you've ever felt.
No, I said, a knee-jerk reaction to his words. I tried to sit up, but he squeezed again, and I fell back into the grass as a sensation washed over me that had me pushing my thighs together, trapping his hand between my legs. Preppy held my hands tighter over my head to keep me still. With a crooked smile on his face, he leaned down so his lips brushed my ear.
No doesn't mean shit to me, baby girl.
He followed his words with a sharp bite to my earlobe that sent a jolt of pleasure pulsing through my body, tightening my nipples, which rubbed painfully against my shirt. A tightening sensation ripped through my lower stomach, and I felt a flushing from my core. Preppy abruptly pulled his hand from inside my shorts, obviously aware and probably repulsed at whatever had just happened down there. My face reddened when he held up his glistening fingers and stared at it in wonderment, shocking me even further when he licked his palm slowly, from wrist to fingertip, closing his eyes and groaning.
That was the best no I've ever fucking tasted, he said,
and without another word he was yanking down my shorts and underwear in one move, before climbing back up my body so we were again eye to eye. His hand back between my legs. I yelped when he pinched my clit, and although my mind was protesting, my body wasn't, my legs falling open at his rough touch.
I'm going to own this tonight.
At the word own, my entire body stiffened. Preppy leaned down and pushed my shirt up to my neck, his mouth finding my nipple and sucking it between his lips, biting harshly down on the tip and blowing on it as he made his way over to the other. Still, I remained stiff.
Just tonight,
he muttered to himself.
Just tonight, this is mine.
He breathed over my nipple before sucking it into his mouth and rolling his tongue over the tip before releasing it.
I can't keep you.
You said that, I breathed as he pressed two fingers inside of me. I can't be owned, I cried out and bucked my hips, reveling in the sensation that was even more powerful than in the cemetery just an hour before. Preppy continued to assault me with his fingers.
No, but you will be fucked.
He worked his own pants with his other hand. Withdrawing from between my legs again, I shifted at the loss of his touch. He lifted off his shirt, and there we were, in a field, completely naked with critters chirping and branches snapping. He grabbed my thighs and pulled me forward. His huge, throbbing erection was pressed up against my core, hot and impossibly hard. I tried to roll over and scramble away, because I finally realized what Preppy meant by hurting me. No, I said, crawling only a foot or two before he was on me, his chest to my back, his mouth on my neck. He pushed my legs apart, and I groaned when he slid his length against my opening. I lunged forward, but only managed to land on my stomach in the grass. Preppy fell against me, his hold firm. But I said no, I huffed out.
It's adorable that you think you can stop me.
He ran his length against me again, and I couldn't help but buck back against him, needing more. "But you're going to hurt me," I panted, referring to the massive size of his cock, which stretched well above his belly button, the tip thick and purple. He chuckled low in his throat.
"That's the plan, Doc."
He pulled back, but only to grab me by the waist, lifting me up so I was on my hands and knees. I felt his throbbing heat, and another flush of wetness left my body. Preppy hissed, and again covered my body with his own. He reached around and, without warning, painfully twisted one of my nipples as he roared out, thrusting hard and deep inside of me, fighting my tight entrance. It did hurt like fucking hell, but I never wanted to feel anything else ever again. It was an exquisite pain, a torturous pleasure. It was nothing I'd ever felt before.
"Is this still a no?"
he taunted, pushing inside again, this time much harder, hitting a spot that made stars dance in my eyes.
"Is this cock enough hurt for you, Doc?"
I couldn't form the words to attempt to answer when he yanked me back by my hair and covered my throat with his hand, squeezing just enough to allow me to still breathe. He turned my head so we were looking right at one another as he started moving again.
"Tell me no again,"
he dared, continuing to twist my nipple with one hand and choke me with the other as he pulled in and out slowly a few times, dragging his shaft against something inside me that felt like when the tip of a sparkler is ignited. A flash of light and heat that grew brighter and bolder, stretching everything inside of me. It was painful, but it was the pain I was seeking, the release from my own thoughts. Preppy was right. His kind of pain was one I wanted, a pain that made me cry and buck back against him.
"You need more, don't you?"
he whispered, the cords of his neck strained. He released my throat and nipple and pushed me back down onto my hands.
"Tell me no again, and I'll give you what you want. I'll give you more,"
he said, grazing his teeth over the skin of my shoulder and thrusting hard inside me, stilling when he was buried as far as my body would let him in.
"Say it,"
he hissed, grinding his hips against my bare ass.
"No,"
I managed to yelp. My body was alive, so fucking alive. Every fiber of my being wanted to be touched, licked, fucked. The aching in my core became almost unbearable, needing to be released or stopped or something.
"Yes,"
I cried out, finally admitting what I'd been trying to deny for so long, telling him what he wanted to hear so he'd give me more of what I was seeking. I wanted more, and he gave me more. He didn't just fuck me. He took command of me, an all-out assault on my body. Hard and long, he fucked me like he was punishing me, and his cock was a lesson I needed to learn. The hurting became real in a way that had me pushing against Preppy.
"I think you need to stop. Please stop. It hurts too much. I can't keep..."
The words fell away from me as I was answered with a furious thrusting, his hips slamming against my ass, his hands digging into my shoulders as he fucked and rode me all at the same time, ignoring my requests for a reprieve from this new kind of suffering. I felt Preppy's abs contracting over my back, and his muscles tense. He was tense, giving me his all, but he was still holding back.
"Give me all,"
I muttered as I felt something turn from pain to pleasure, igniting a heat around my stomach and pussy, reaching to other places in my body. The sound of another train approaching dinged nearby, the skating of the metal against the tracks. The horn wailing grew louder and louder as it came closer. I was there, right there, but I couldn't find what I was looking for.
"I can't,"
I said, pushing back against him, meeting him thrust for powerful thrust.
"I know what you need. I got you,"
Preppy said. He reared back. Something clicked behind me, followed by a sharp, scraping sensation against my lower back, giving me just enough pain to bring me over to the pleasure I was seeking. The train whistle blew. The ground around us shook like 1,000 thunderous horses about to stampede over the top of us. I screamed, loud and long, the sound swallowed by the high-pitched scratching of the passing train, its wind blowing my hair around my face as I cracked